أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبل وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوحام الواصفين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبو القاسم محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العظم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله عزم الله أجورنا وأجوركم. Last night we pointed out to the purpose of Anbiya and Awliya being mentioned in the Quran is وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. That is the sole purpose. If we imagine the world to be a big institution, the world to be a big madrasa, the teachers of this madrasa are the Anbiya and Awliya, been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us, to train us, to provide us with that vision, the vision of Tawheed, the vision which really understands God, the complexity of God. And it is very unfortunate that if a person leaves this dunya without understanding his own creator. Life of a human being really sits upon his vision in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once he has that proper and true vision of God, eventually the vision that he will have of other realities of the creation would be more valuable compared to the vision that he has prior to understanding God. Anbiya and Awliya been sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really show us, to provide us, to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way He is. Allahumma, this was one of the du'as of the Prophet as well. Allahumma arini kama hiya hiya. Oh Allah, show me the things the way they are, in their true sense, in their true form. We tend to see things in duality, in multiplicity. It is difficult for us to really comprehend, to really see Tawheed, unity in things, in multiplicity. But the Prophet or the Anbiya and Awliya or the Awliya, they see things the way they are, in the true sense. Just for a misal, just for an example, one would say, or one would quote the very verse of the Quran that it says, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ardh, that Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. But as insan is blind, as insan is behind hijab, there are veils of his own wujud, as we mentioned earlier, his own existence in this dunya, he is unable to see this light. He is unable to see Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ardh. But Anbiya and Awliya, they see Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ardh, and they want us to see that. I mean, life is not really worth if one doesn't really see Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ardh, doesn't even at least have a glimpse of it once at least in his own lifetime. You know, the beauty of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un is that it should be voluntary. One shouldn't be really forced back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but one returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his will. And this returning back to God, this hijrat, is really what we said is called tazkiyah, is called tarbiyat, which is indeed prior to ta'aleem. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. And what is ta'aleem? What is ilm? As mentioned by the sixth Imam, Al-ilmu nurun. Ilm is considered to be light, is considered to be nur. يَغْزِفُ فِي قَلْبِ مَنْ يَشَىٰ. And Allah puts this ilm, this knowledge, in the heart of those whosoever Allah wishes. And what Allah wish is not outside His wisdom. It's not like, you know, people tend to ask the silly question, can Allah put Yazid in Jannah? It's like asking, for example, can Allah create a world, you know, which is bigger than an egg, and can He put that whole world in an egg? I mean, it's a silly question. So it is outside the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, outside the wisdom of God. So al-ilmu nurun yaghzifu fi qalbi man yasha. Knowledge is nothing but nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is placed in the hearts of those whosoever Allah wishes. So knowledge will come about automatically if one really purifies oneself. We mentioned the incident of an individual who was blind and he had no knowledge of the Quran, but he was able to see the nur of the Quran. And there is another person who have a nice ziyaratgah, a place people visit him. He's called Karbalai, and he's buried right opposite to the haram of Hazrat Masuma in one of the graveyards. And his story was became, you know, world famous. You know, within Iran it's quite famous, because it was during the time of Ayatollah Burjardi. There was a man by the name of Karbalai, and he had so much attraction, or he was very much, you know, overwhelmed towards the Quran, to learn the Quran. But unfortunately he was a farmer, and he had no knowledge, technical knowledge, to really read and recite the Quran. But because of his sincerity, because of that tazkiyah, purification of his nafs, once it happened so that he makes a ziyarat to one of the awliya in his village, and then while returning back, he goes unconscious. And after which he comes back to conscious, he notices that the haram of that wali, which was in his village, have writings of the Quran, the calligraphy of the Quran, and he could able to read that. It became nurani, the verses of the Quran, because Quran is nur. And they took him to Ayatollah Burjardi. You know, he came to Qum, and they took him to Ayatollah Burjardi, and they said that this man is illiterate, but he could read Quran. They would give him a book of any Islamic book, and wherever the, because Farsi text and Arabic text is similar, so wherever there's the Arabic verses of the Quran, he would able to read, but he will not be able to read Farsi. And they took him to Ayatollah Burjardi, you know, he's the Marja'i Kul of that time, to report that, you know, what's going on here. And they asked him that, how come? He says that, you know, wherever there is Quranic verses, you know, they shine out. It has nur in it. And I could read it from inside. Al-ilmu nurun yakhzifu fi qalbi man yasha. Quran, like we said, I mean, this is not the Arabic and, you know, alif, ba, and alif, lam, mim, zalik, al-kitab, you know, zal, lam, kaf. This is not the reality of the Quran. The reality of zalika is nur. You know, and the manifestation of that nur from the heaven becomes Quran here. It is kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So kalam is not in this form, you know, 30, you know, juz, so many 114 chapters. I mean, the reality of it on malakuti realm, on the angelic realm, on the realm of the angels, is something else. The reality of that on the Jabaruti realm, which is the realm of the Asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is something else. The reality of that within the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something else. But when it comes to in this dunya, it becomes in this form. So therefore, ilm is, knowledge is something that is light, something that is nur. And it is placed into the hearts of people who tend to, those who purify themselves. Otherwise, you know, it is, for example, Yahmelu Aswara. You know, the Quran says in Surah Jummah that we recite, the Yahud, for instance, they have the knowledge, but it is like when you place books upon, you know, a donkey. You know, as the donkey have no understanding of what books is placed upon it. So a person might have knowledge, but when it comes to true utilization of this knowledge, what this knowledge should do to him, what this knowledge should make him, you know, it's not making him that. As they say, Imam Khomeini said, you know, Mulla shudan asan, insan shudan mahal. You know, he quoted his teacher Sheikh Hayri, who is the founder of the Hawza of Qum. You know, he used to say, you know, mullah should to become a mullah, you know, a maulana is quite easy, but to become an insan, it is very difficult. That's what Sheikh Hayri would say. But Imam said that, you know, to become a mullah, you know, it's easy, but to become an insan is impossible. It's mahal. You know, our journey is that we become a true human being. We become insan. That is, you know, that is the goal. That is the purpose. When a person becomes a true insan, then he becomes, you know, a perfect reflection. He comes in, as Allah have created Adam into the image of God. He himself has mentioned it. I created Adam in my image. And then I even breathed my spirit into it. So when he reaches that stage, when he becomes a true insan, then he becomes insane, you know, the perfect human being. The insan, that's the station of insane kamil. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So knowledge solely, just knowledge itself, it also brings about arrogance. You know, a person who have great lot of knowledge, different types of knowledge, he could easily become arrogant. But true knowledge, as Amir al-Mumin said, it brings humility. It brings humbleness. Have you ever seen a tree with lots of fruits on it? That tree becomes humble. So therefore, if knowledge is not bringing humility in a person, it's bringing arrogance, then obviously the knowledge hasn't really given its fruit. I mean, isn't it that people who were knowledgeable came against the Imams and the Prophets as well? Whether that be our Prophet or that be other Prophets, like Hazrat Musa, for example. There was the story is quite famous, where the person had the knowledge of Ism-i Azam, and then he was going onto the mountain to call the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Hazrat Musa by utilization of Ism-i Azam. Why? Because he was jealous of Hazrat Musa. Qarun, you know, they say that Qarun was the uncle of Hazrat Musa. And at the same time, he was very knowledgeable in terms of Tawrat. And he would recite very beautifully, because Hazrat Musa used to stutter. He had luknat of Zaban. But Qarun, I mean, he would recite it very much better than Hazrat Musa. And he just had this thought that how come, you know, I am very knowledgeable in terms of Tawrat. You know, I recite better than Musa as well. I am older to Hazrat Musa as well. But still, you know, people respect Hazrat Musa as the Prophet. Why don't they respect me? This thought occurred. He had this knowledge, but it had no fruit to be humble in front of a waliullah, to be humble in front of a prophet. And then what happened to Qarun? With all of that knowledge, with all of that wealth, you know, he was buried into the ground. So that knowledge that he had was not beneficial for him at all. So prior to knowledge, there's the element of purification, there's the element of tazkiyah, you know. And then if he have that within him, and then he goes towards knowledge, if he increases the knowledge, it will not blind him. It will not make him arrogant. It will make him more humble. You know, for example, we see, you know, in our day-to-day, in this, you know, in today to, I mean, at present, in the contemporary period, that we tend to see that scholars or students going to seminaries, educating themselves for certain few years, but when they return back, as if they don't recognize their elders, those scholars who have spent their time in the Hawza, or their teachers, you know, they go to the extent of criticizing. I mean, one of the reasons why, you know, I'll be very frank here, very open about it, Ayatollah Shirazi been considered to be, you know, not in the good books of the scholars is because of that. You know, he was very young, you know, between 30s and 40s, and he became a mujtahid. I mean, it is, yes, people, individual, they reach the age of ijtihad at a young age. You know, in terms of fuqahat, yes, they could. You know, even Imam Khomeini, for example, not just in relation to the fuqahat, the shari masail, fiqh. I mean, if you look at the book that he wrote in at the age of 27, Misbahul Hidayah fi Tariq al-Wilaya, I mean, the book on mysticism, which is like a, you know, a risala about, you know, 40 or odd pages, but it's so deep. I mean, that's to understand that risala of Imam in mysticism, it requires, you know, at least, you know, 20 years, 15 to 20 years of proper studies in Irfan. And then one would be able to really have some understanding of what Imam Khomeini is writing. So, I mean, at the age of 27, 30, 35, a person could become a mujtahid. But when a person becomes a mujtahid, doesn't mean that he should disregard and disrespect the others. So what happened was that he, you know, published his own risala at that time. And then even Agha Khoui was alive at that time. Other great mujtahideen was alive at that time. So that wasn't really appreciated by the Hawza. And that's why he came under the, you know, Shahid Sadr was alive at that time. If they asked Shahid Sadr to publish a risala, I mean, he would say that as long as, you know, Sayyid Khoui is there, he wouldn't, you know, openly declare in terms of his ijtihad. However, he had risala, he had, you know, following, but not in the sense that where he openly... So this is what he had done. So he came in the bad books of the scholars in the in Najaf and also in Qum as well, you know. So ilm itself, and it could be intact, it could be perfect, outwardly speaking, you know. But if it doesn't have the element of purification, it will not really make him reach the goal, which is, you know, really the goal of Tawheed, the vision of Tawheed, you know, having a life the way how Anbiya and Awliya have lived. You know, Prophet with that all kamal. You know, I mean, is there, if you think about this, I mean, is there any soul more perfect than the Prophet? وَقَانَ قَابِ قَوْسَيْنَ وَأَدْنَى, right? Prophet have reached to that maqam that he was so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Jibreel haven't even reached, even less than, you know, two arrows, and that close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perfect insan-e-kamil, but at the same time how humble he was. Is there anyone more humble than the Prophet? You know, the Arabs would used to come and speak to the Prophet. I mean, forget the Arab, the Juhala, the Muslimin. You know, Surah Hujarat is what? They come outside the Hujra, outside the chamber of the Prophet. They say, Muhammad, come out. They speak like that to the Prophet. If someone tells me, you know, hey, you know, Abbas, you know, even my, for example, my family member, he comes and I'm sitting here. He says, oh, Abbas, how are you doing? You know, I say, oh, look around and is there anyone, you know, we should say, Molana, what are you? Are you calling my by your name? You know, I get, so we're talking about Prophet here, who have reached that maqam, who is that humble, who is the ultimate authority of the Muslim, you know, empire, if you want to say. And he's been called by his first name. But, you know, he is humble. In front of them, he answered them, he attended to them, they push him, You know, they snatch his abba to the extent that he starts to bleed. But he's humble. And he seeks forgiveness. He asks before leaving, you know, have I hurt you? Have I troubled you? So do the same thing before I leave this dunya. So humility comes from tazkiyah, from purification. So knowledge is good, and it is something that is required indeed. You know, I'm not here saying that one should close the books and not educate themselves, na'uzubillah, not at all. You know, knowledge is something that is very much needed to have the understanding of, but knowledge is the muqaddama, is the premise to understand haqq, to understand truth. Fiqh, what is fiqh? The masail fiqhi is that one should reach, you know, the haqq, the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge of philosophy, tafsir, all of that is that one understands God, one pleases God. All of this knowledge is for that. So if this knowledge itself is becoming a hurdle and hijab, what good knowledge is that? So that is why knowledge have the element of becoming an hijab, but a hijab of nur. You know, people, you know, tend to get, have interest in philosophy. And they get involved only with the philosophical terminologies. And they don't look beyond that. One have to really go beyond that. Even Irfan, you know, this was the ravish, the style of Allama Tabatabai was that. You know, Qazi Tabatabai, I mentioned him a few days ago as well, was the teacher of Allama Tabatabai. And he gave a zikr to chant, you know, to do a zikr for Allama. And he would say that, do not pay attention to anything, whatever you see in terms of the mukashifat. Mukashifat are spiritual unveiling. Allahumma arini kamahiya. You know, show me, O Allah, the way the true things are, the reality of things. You know, they would say that, you know, when Allama or this awliya would do the zikr, the whole walls would do the zikr with them. And people, the roommates will able to hear and listen. The walls doing the tasbih, the doors doing the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because yusabbihu lillahi ma fis samawati wal arz, right? You know, whatsoever is in the heaven and earth, they are doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, it is because of the hijab that we have, the hijab sam'i. You know, there are different types of hijab. There's hijab basari, you know, is a hijab in front of our curtain. There's a hijab upon our heart. There's a hijab, you know, upon our ear. There's a hijab in istishmam, you know. You know, one is not able to smell the smell of behisht, of Jannah. One is not able to taste the taste of Jannah. There's hijab of that. There's different forms and types of hijab. So, Qazi would say that do not pay attention to anything that you see. Regard everything as nothing. In front of what? In front of Tawheed. And then, you know, there's a famous story I think you might have heard before as well. But, you know, it's a good lesson, especially for our youngsters, and to remind us each other. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ فَأَتِ الذِّكْرَ. You know, we should be reminded of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the awliya through which we will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, he sees the Hur al-Ayn descending from the heaven while he was doing the zikr. And this Hur al-Ayn comes with a goblet, with a drink of Jannah. And Allama continued doing the zikr of Allah. He doesn't pay attention to her. And then she comes to the other side. Allama just continues. Apparently this happened in Masjid al-Sahla, you know, while he was doing the zikr. And then finally she leaves. And then he reports to Qazi, and this is what, you know, happened. He says, you know, Idama, you know, continue doing the zikr. Do not pay attention to these things. So the haqiqat, the reality, is not having these Hur al-Ayn, these feeling, Tahlul Arz. The haqiqat is Tawheed. Whether we see it, whether we don't, we just keep on going. If we see it, it shouldn't stop us there. That becomes a hijab in itself. And then they asked Allama, you know, later on in one of the interviews, that is there anything that really bothered you in your whole life? Because Allama was very, you know, precise in everything. I mean, you know, he has dedicated all of his life for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Deen. You know, he would calculate every little thing to the extent that, you know, he says that when he was writing Tafsirul Mizan, you know, the magnum opus work of Allama is Tafsirul Mizan. I mean, that's like amazing, that tafsir is. And the ravish and the style that Allama have adopted is really from Qazi Tabatabai. Qazi also have that, that book hasn't been printed yet of Qazi Tabatabai. You know, but the style, the methodology is from Qazi Tabatabai. So they asked him, you know, and I wanted to mention this, that when he used to write, he says that I will not put the Dhamma, Fatha and Kasra when I'm writing the tafsir or any treaty that I'm, risala that I'm writing. And I would do it when I'm proofreading it. At that time I would do that. When I'm doing that, I'm saving 3 or 4 minutes. So even that 3-4 minutes, an Arif would calculate that. You know, he wants to use that 3-4 minutes for, you know, to achieve something, to go on a higher daraja. So they asked him that, were you disappointed? He said, yes. You know, when that Hura Lane came, people will think that not because I didn't benefit from her, that I didn't drink the goblet that she has brought, but because I broke her heart, that's why I was disappointed. Because the awliya, you know, the Jannah is mushtaq for them. The behesh, the hereafter, they wait for awliya, that they enter it, you know, to their paradise. But their paradise is much higher. They do sayr, you know, they travel within the jabarut of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they don't stay within the realm of Malakut, within the realm of Jannah. They are much higher than that. You know, Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So, what we have is that one life, limited time, you know, as pointed out to the incident of Allama Tabatabai in terms of that minute and hours, and a fort to achieve, to conquer. At least if one recognizes the target, if one recognizes the goal, and if he does haraka, if he moves towards that goal, in that there is satisfaction, although he might not be able to reach. But the constant struggle of achieving that tawheed, achieving that goal, achieving purification, would help him. Through the constant help of awliya, Inna al-Husayn misbahul huda wa safinatul najah. Why is that? For Imam Hussein, it has been mentioned that Hussein is considered misbahul huda and the safina of najah. The 8th Imam says that we all are misbahul huda, we all are safina najah. Safina is the ark of najah, you know, is the ship. We all are that. But if we pay attention to the Islamic texts and du'as, only 2 imams been known as Safina and Najah. One is Imam Hussein and one is our 12th Imam. We recite that in Ziyarat, the Allahum Salli Ala Muhammad. Ajjal Faraj, inshallah. We recite in the Ziyarat of Friday, every Friday there is a Ziyarat that we recite, you know, for an imam and for a masoom. You know, that is something that we should do it, is as a taqibat of every day after Fajr prayers. We do a little bit of Ziyarat of an imam and we do tamassuk, tawassul, seek help from them. So the Friday Ziyarat mentions that he is Safina Najah, and we find within these all hadith and riwayat been mentioned in relation to Imam Hussein. But Imam Raza says we all are Safina and Najah, we all are Misbahul Huda, but the Safina of Hussein is Awsa, is much more broader, wa asra, and it's much more quicker. So if someone goes in the ship of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he would reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Tawheed quicker, and as it's Awsa, a lot of poor people will reach Tawheed as well. That is why we find the Ashab of Imam Hussein, they within one night, they were provided with that vision of Tawheed. Awliya Allah, when we recite the Ziyarat of, you know, of them, we regard them as Awliya Allah. I mean, Waliullah is not a simple term. In Imam Masoom, in a person who is infallible, have written that Ziyarat of Ashab of Imam Hussein is written by the Imam. So Imam Masum is calling Zuhair, Hur as Awliya Allah. So within a night, within few hours, they were able to achieve that. They were able to travel that journey that a man makes, which takes him, 80 years, 60, 70 years to have that vision of Tawheed, to have that vision of oneness of God. They did that within hours because of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Wasn't that, at the night of the ninth night, Imam Hussain said, I would show you your maqamat in the hereafter. Awliya muttaqeen are those who sees the hereafter. They see the reality, the haq, the truth. Wasn't that, we mentioned this hadith from the fifth Imam as well, that the blades have no effect on their body when it was cutting them into pieces. Because their tawajjuh, their focus is on tawheed. Their focus is on God. The blade have no effect on them. These are the ashab of Imam Hussain. So, إِنَّ الْحُسَيْنِ مِزْبَعُ الْهُدَى وَسَفِينَ النِّجَى is that. So whosoever sits in this safina, and it's awsa, it's much, much wider. Even now the hadith is not only for the ashab of Imam Hussain at that time. Even today, there's ashab of Imam Hussain. Even today, Hussain changes life overnight. I mean, there was a person who was considered to be one of the great robbers or thieves, I'm forgetting his name. He's also buried in Qum. He was considered as one of the lat, one of the corrupt person. He was like a gang leader, and everybody used to fear him. And there was Muharram everywhere in like as we have majalis here in Iran as well. If you go, there's majalis, black cloth on the street, and people doing tabarruk and all that. So it just occurred to him that he would go to a majlis. Now everybody said he's coming for majlis. We were shocked. It happens, and then he goes, and the person, the sahib khane, the owner of the house, he stopped him. I said, where are you coming? It's not your place. And then his heart broke. And the next day, this man, the person, the sahib khune, the owner of the house, had a dream. And he sees that, Imam Hussain is in a house and everyone is going there to meet him. Imam Hussain stopped him. He said, you're not allowed to come here. Then they asked him that, why? He says that you stopped my guest coming from attending your majlis. After which he woke up and he runs to apologize this corrupt man, this gang leader. Was murderer. I mean, he would do anything for the sake of money, for the sake of fame and name. And then he informed him that, this is what happened. And after which he changed. This one dream, this one incident changed him, and today his place, people go and do ziyarat, do mannat on his khabar. To that extent, he reached kamal, perfection. That his name have become, so pure. People go and do ziyarat for him. So that's the Mizbah al-Huda, that's Safinatul Najah. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, salatu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So the mission of Imam Hussain, the movement of Imam Hussain was for that. And it provided that, protection of that vision, so that it changes the lives of individuals and takes them towards that vision which the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam have. They want us, especially us, because we say that we are your lovers, we are your followers, we are the Shias. Especially we have to have that vision which the Imams have. And that is, we have to, embark on this journey. And I will just read a phrase from the letter of Imam Khomeini to his son, Haji Ahmad Agha, and I will translate that. It really touched me. He says that, Ay Aziz, ای مطالعه کننده این اوراق، او عزیز، او مای لور، and the one who is reading this اوراق، these pages، عبرت کن از حال این نویسنده. Take a lesson from the person who is writing this. که اکنون در زیر خاک و در عالم دیگر گرفتار اعمال زشت و اخلاق ناهنجار خیش است. Take lesson from this man who is writing this, who is under the khak, who is buried now. And he is, you know, giraftar, he is stuck with his corrupt actions. So look at humility. I mean, Imam Khomeini on that level of kamal and perfection, remember that 27 years of age writing Risale Wilaya, at that age he wrote that book on mysticism, and he's writing like this. Humility, humbleness. I mean, very similar to how we find, for example, the fourth Imam, you know, in Saif al-Sajjadiyah seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although masoom. Very way how Prophet stood in prayers at night where his feet would swell up. To the extent that Allah would say that, take it easy, O Prophet. O Muhammad, take it easy. Do not burden yourself so much. To that extent. And he says that, you know, who is, you know, giraftar, who is, you know, stuck with his amale akhlaq na hanjar khishas ta fursat dash be batalat wa hawa wa hawas umr aziz ra guzaran. As long as he had time, he was busy with hawa nafs and, you know, doing things which were not proper, you know, he's telling to himself. One sarmaye ilahi ra zaye wa batil kar, that sarmaya, that treasure which was provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to me, I have wasted it. Because we all been given that treasure. And we have to utilize that treasure, that ruh, that spirit. We have to make sure that we use it. We have to make sure that we utilize it. We have to make sure that we take it that to its reach its potential, its perfection. Tu multafet khud bash. You know, be careful of yourself. که نیز روزی مثل مایی و خودت نمیدانی که آن چه روزی است. And a day will come that day will be like the day it is for me. That you will be old, that you will die, and you don't know when that will be. When you will be facing death. شاید الان, maybe now. که مشغول قرائت باشی. Maybe now that you are reading this very letter, it might happen just now. You never know. It's just cardiac arrest. And agar ta'lili kuni, if you delay it, fursat az dast mirawad. If you delay it, the fursa is gone. You know, time is wasted. Ay baradar man, in umur ra ta'wiq nayandazi. Do not delay this. Do not delay these issues which are important. I mean, drinking, eating, making money, raising up the kids. Yes, all of these things are part and parcel of life. While doing this, not that one leave these things and do, one should be careful. Prophet never entertained, encouraged that as well. You know, individuals said, you know, they left their houses and their wives and their children to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet himself, without wearing the abba, ran out of the masjid to call them back, saying that, what are you doing? I am the Prophet. But still I am, you know, involved. As they say that when Prophet used to enter his house, he would divide the time into three or four. Part of his time was with the children, part of his time was, you know, cleaning up the house, part of his time was, you know, for ibadat. So he, all of these, I mean, Amirul Mumineen, you know, who could be more perfect than him? You know, al-haq wa ma'al ali wa ali wa ma'al haq, and so many things, as we all are aware of it, you know, would become a horse for the children, not only for his children, for others. So do not delay. Chaqad adam hai sahi wa salim ba maut inagahan azin dunya raftian. How many people who were salim, who were healthy, and they just died without, you know, with accidental deaths. از این دنیا رفتیان و ندانیم عاقبت آنها چیست. And we don't know what is their akhirah, what happened to their akhirah. پس فرصت را از دست مده. and do not give away fursa. So it is one life that has been given to us, and we have to make sure that we fully utilize this life that has been given. And the fully utilization of this life is really that we do tawassul, that we connect to those energies, to those beings who are considered to be Safinatul Najah, who are considered to be that they will change, that they will take us overnight. You know, a journey of, you know, there's a poetry in Farsi that a journey of hundreds of years is finished, is accomplished overnight. That is Kamal, that is perfection. But at the same time, not to misunderstand or to have not to have a misconception that this could be overnight. You know, it takes a long time. And it is not easy. It is a try, one have to try over and over again. I mean, Ayatollah Sani, who was the secretary of Imam Khomeini, he mentions that, he mentioned to him one of the time that it took 20, you know, odd years to get rid of one akhlaq-e razile, you know, an akhlaq, an ethics, an etiquette that is considered to be a bad etiquette, bad akhlaq in a person. It takes a very long time to get rid of that. You know, it's very difficult, really, when a person comes, oh, Mawlana, mashallah, you know, lovely majlis. Ghurur, takabbur, love of the nafs. You know, at that very instant, you know, when I'm saying I'm becoming happy, am I becoming happy for my nafs? This is the tawheed is gone from my heart. Only I'm doing focus on my nafs. I'm looking at myself here. I'm not looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm giving majlis, I'm becoming happy, so that means that I'm preparing and giving majlis for my own self? Or am I giving it for Abu Abdullah? Am I giving it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it's not very easy to get rid of that soul, that nafs to purify. You have to train it over and over again. You know, it's so hard to train a wild horse, isn't it? When it's so hard to train a horse that is wild, it takes a long time. Imagine insan, which is the wildest of the wild. And it is so subtle. His training is much more difficult. You know, not only that he be trained by others, for he himself to train himself is so difficult, leaving aside others trying to train him. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Therefore that hijrat is required. That journey from the self. And there's a beautiful verse in the Quran. However, the time is not real, will not really permit us to go into detail of it, but I'll just maybe translate and point out to few aspects of this verse, and then we will look at it in detail, inshallah, maybe tomorrow. They say that the verse goes that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, wa man yuhajir fi sabilillah. A person, whosoever, wa man yuhajir, you know, salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Please recite another salawat for me, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Maybe it doesn't want to for us to discuss tonight. Like I said, it's a good verse, and it has a lot of element to it. I really wanted to mention this verse here. Anyway, it's here, right here. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Waman yakhruj. It's not muhajir comes later. Waman yakhruj min baytihi muhajiran ila Allah. وَمَنْ those who are kharij, those who are whosoever leaves, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِي from his house, muhajir, who does a muhajirat, who does a hijrat from his house, إِلَى اللَّهِ, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرُسُولِهِ, towards the Rasul as well. So people tend to think that if a person goes towards the Rasul, he's not going towards Allah. It's not the case. You know, they go to Hajj, but they say they want to go towards the Allah. Is that Hajj? If a person goes towards Rasul, he is going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person do the zikr of Waliullah, he is doing the zikr of Allah. Zikr of Ali is the zikr of Allah, isn't it? Zikr of Rasul is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, it's very difficult for certain people to really comprehend and understand that, because they don't have their heart is not, you know, wasi. The heart doesn't have the capacity to understand that. When we really do the zikr of Hussein, are we really worshipping Hussein as such? But we are really doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increasing through Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I mean, if you look at it, the understanding of God, the complexity of God is really been explained by Masumeen alayhi salam in du'as, in khutbat. If you don't have the understanding, if you don't have the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what ma'rifat, what type of worship that will be? And worship with ma'rifat, with knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is worship. If there is no ma'rifat of Allah, of God in it, that's just actions. And this worship will deteriorate, will fly out in no time, will crumble in no time. But if one have that knowledge and understanding, and then one worships, then one will understand. Then that worship will have an effect. So the knowledge of God is really been provided is through, you know, Masumeen and Ahl Bayt alayhi salam and Rasul. That is why, you know, Shia school of thought tend to have a greater substance when it comes to philosophy, when it comes to fiqh. You know, it's quite deep. Or for instance, you find other schools, they literally believe, for instance, that God will place his feet in, na'uzu billah, heaven, hell, when the hell will say that I need more. But the vision that the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam and the Shia scholars have in relation to Tawheed, in relation to God, is something else. So, a person who does hijrah towards Allah and towards Rasul, it's vertical. ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ And he does dark of maut. See, maut is not dark. What does dark mean? Understanding. That's what dark means, right? So when we understand something, once we understood, that thing never remains. So when a person does the dark of maut, كُلَّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every soul will taste the death. When he tastes the death, after he tastes, that taste disappears, finished. But he is still there. If someone asks us to taste something, after tasting that, we are still there. So death is that when a person tastes it, and then he is still there. He doesn't disappear, he doesn't vanish, just by maut. So yudrikuhul maut, you know, when a person does the dark of maut, when he understands something, he is still there, he understood it, and finish. The subject is understood and it's comprehended, but I am still there after understanding that. So a person who does that hijrah, so maut is not place that one dies and it's vanished in sphere. One continues to live indeed. Rasuli thumma yudrikuhul maut. فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرَهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ The ajr of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, outwardly speaking, the ayah is pointing out to that a person who does hijrah, the person who leaves the house and he's going for hajj, he's going for ziyarat, you know, from his house, and then all of a sudden he might see death, you know, he might die, you know, on his way going for hajj, and Allah will give him, you know, the ajr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in haqiqah, you know, as we all know, that Quran have 70 batn, 70 inward meanings to it. And this 70 inward meanings have 70 inward meanings to it. وَرَاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ Those who are righteous in their knowledge are the one who would be able to do the ta'wil, would be able to, you know, do the tafsir, you know, interpret this. They are the true ones. So those who have the knowledge, they have interpreted. Quran have many deeper meanings to it. In the methodology of Allama Tabatabai, that's what we find. You know, the beginning of the verse might mean something else, and the end of the verse might mean something else. This verse might be talking about an historical incident, but this verse is very much utilized, you know, in the issue of fiqh, something for some other purpose. So there are many meanings to the Quran. So here, when a person leaves his bayt is his own self. When a person leaves his self, when he does a journey, when he comes out of his selfish desires, what I want to do this, I want to become the... When he comes out, when he travels from this self, and then where does he going towards? He is going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want this, but God wants something else. So I want what God wants. So I'm taking that journey from that khud, from that nafs. Towards where? Towards Allah. Towards the Rasul. That's what tahzeeb is. That's what purification is. That's what training is. I'm training myself, my soul. And one have to really take that journey. You know, muhajir, you know, hijrat, you know, is a proper terminology, is a proper term. When a person does hijrat, his prayer shortens. After traveling a certain distance, his prayer shortens. He is considered, you know, a person as a foreigner, as a muhajir. If he just remains within the city, you know, he will not be considered as that. So when the Quran is saying that when he becomes a muhajir, he has to really travel a bit far from his nafs. Then he becomes a muhajir towards Rasul. And then he just does dark of maut. Now there are two types of maut. A maut when he is traveling from his self, he has completely destroyed his self. His self remains nothing. Whatever remains is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his self is death, has died. Nothing of his, he has done a hijrat to the extent that his hijrat is so extensive, to the extent that his soul have died completely. Whatever there is reside, the reside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only reside, only pleasure of Allah exists. So his soul have died completely. When his soul dies, but outwardly speaking, he is still alive. He is not dead, but his khud, but his nafs is dead. So when his khud dies, when his nafs dies, when his soul dies, you know, yudrikul maut, then faqad waqa ajru alallah. Then the ajr is really Allah. The ajr that will take place is Allah. So when I annihilate myself, when my soul completely vanishes, then it is Allah. Allahu nuru samawat wal ardh. Whatsoever remains but Allah. Then it becomes, which in Munajat Shabaniya we say, La farqa baynaka wa baynaha. There isn't any difference between Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa ibadallah al mukhlisun, except that they are, you know, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that becomes, the soul becomes that. That soul becomes Allah. You know, that is why we recite for ziyarat of, in ziyarat Ali Yasin to Imam Zaman, that antumul awwal, antumul akhir. You know, these are the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we are taking in relation to an Imam Masum. We are taking in relation to a human being. You know, then it becomes, you know, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى, the words that we, you know, always remind us each other. That is, O Prophet, when you are shooting an arrow, Prophet is not shooting, Allah is shooting that arrow. مَنْ عَرَفَ نَفْسَ فَقَدْ عَرَفَ رَبَّهُ. That's what it becomes. You know, a person who recognizes soul, you know, what he has in him. Because the self that he has is completely destroyed. But what remains is that ruh, is that spirit, that true self. You know, as they say that, you know, when you look at the creation, when you see yourself in the mirror, that is you, but not you. In the same manner, the creation is God, but not God. So the creation is nothing but the manifestation of Allahumma arini al-ashya kama hiya. Oh Allah, show me the things the way they really are. The creation is the reflection of that. And the perfect of all reflection is that insan. And he would never achieve that, he would never become that, unless he does that hijrah. Unless he, you know, does that tazkiyah. Unless he trains himself through, you know, Quran, Nur, and through different ways itself have been mentioned in relation to, on this path, by Masumin alayhi salam, been prescribed for that. And the Ashab of Imam Hussein and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they are the, you know, source of energy for this journey. And we have seen that how nations have changed, how individuals have changed by attending the majalises, by, you know, looking into the you know, historical events that took place in Karbala. You know, Wahhab is a Christian. He's not a Muslim. Awsa wa asrah, more broader and more quicker. Safina of Imam Hussein. He's a Christian. He's not a Muslim. But how it changed. Imam Hussein, before reaching Karbala, he goes to Wahhab's tent to invite him. And he wasn't in the tent. And his mother was there, and Imam Hussein asked her that, how is it going? And she says that everything is going all right, except that we don't have water. There's, you know, scarcity of water. And Imam Hussein said, don't worry, I'll dig up a well for you. Imam Hussein digs the well, and then he informs that, I'm the grandson of the Muslim prophet. I'm the son of Fatima, and I'm going towards Karbala, and I would like you to come and assist me in this battle of falsehood, you know, truth against falsehood. And he leaves. Afterwards, Wahhab comes, and he inquires, and he looks the water, and he says that, what happened? And the mother says that, you know, a man came, Hussein ibn Ali, and he says he's the grandson of the Prophet, Muslim prophet, and he's the son of Fatima, and he has asked us to come and assist and help him. Pure soul, Nuriyan ba Nuriyan bovat, you know, the share of Parsi, you know, Nuriyan are attracted to Nuriyan. So he left, and then Wahhab inquires that, how does he look like? He said, he looked like Isa Masih. He was just like Jesus Christ, Nur on his face. See, the Wahhab and Wahhab's mother have a vision of a Waliullah, of a saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they see the true Waliullah, they look alike. It's the same Noor. It's the extension of that very Noor. And Wahhab says, we have to go and assist and help. And they joined Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And Wahhab was recently married. Just married, few days, traveling from the self, muhajirat, hijrat. Especially when a person gets married, when he's young and you're fully aware how difficult it is for him to sacrifice and for her to let go, the husband, especially in that wilderness, especially in a foreign land, especially as they were not Muslim before, they are unaware of the Muslim etiquettes and akhlaq. And here Wahhab comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and says that, oh Abu Abdullah, allow me, oh my master, allow me that I sacrifice myself. And he says, Imam says that, you recently got married, you have a mother to take care, you have a wife to take care, you have come here, you have shown your, you know, love and your kindness, that is sufficient enough, you can go. As we know that on the ninth night, Imam put off the light. Imam never forced anyone. Imam said, come and help. Imam said, no, you have to come. Imam, they say, you know, they joined Imam. If they had that ma'rifat, if they have that understanding, they joined the Imam. But if they don't, they don't. For example, Harsameh was Harsameh ibn Sulaim, his name was. He was in Siffin with Amirul Mumineen, and they were passing by Karbala, and Amirul Mumineen, you know, picks up the sand and smells it and says that, what a beautiful, you know, how lucky you are that in the future pure bodies will be buried here. Harsameh said, what is Imam saying? He wasn't really a pure Shia as such. You know, he was, however, against Muawiyah, but he came, as we know that, you know, historically speaking, many people were against Muawiyah and they just joined him, Amir al-Mumineen, just because Amir al-Mumineen was against Muawiyah. So Harsameh said, you know, you're talking about, you know, an incident in the future, and here, He was quiet and later on goes home and reports to the mother, to the wife, and wife was a Shia, and she said, you know, be careful what Imam is saying, you know, ponder upon it, contemplate it. Later on, when he came to fight against Imam Hussein, he was in the troops of Ibn Ziyad, and all of a sudden he remembered that 23 years ago Amirul Mumineen said something that there will be a battle, that there will be, you know, pure souls will be buried in Karbala. Then he galloped towards Imam Hussein's tent. He came and then he inquires that, I remember your father saying that, you know, pure souls will be buried in Karbala. Is that what he was pointing out to? Imam said yes. Then Imam asks, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to join me? Or he said, Harsam, he said, no. You know, I will leave. He didn't fight Imam Hussein, he left. But he didn't join Imam Hussein. Imam asked, Imam is providing that. But one have to travel with that free will. So Wahab came with that free will. And he says that, oh, Ibn Rasulullah, allow me to go and sacrifice myself. And Imam Hussein tried to avoid him, tried to refine his intention of his sacrifice. That's what Imam is responsible of. Imam is responsible of taking of our all of our amal towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam will take our amal in the best form. Imam will refine our amal, refine our act. That is why Imam is there for, to rectify the Sharia, to correct our acts so that it reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether that act be ibadi in the sense of Sharia, whether that act be by our heart, with love. So Imam refine. If you look at it, Imam always said, you know, you can leave. You know, even to Ali Asghar, you know, he gave a chance, but still Ali Asghar wanted to sacrifice. So he said, I'll take you for water, maybe, you know, they will give you water. Even a baby's act was refined. The intentions were refined over and over again, continuously. Even his son Ali Akbar. So Imam said to Wahab, you know, go ahead, leave me. But Wahab said no. And he goes into the battlefield. And he fights. And he returns back. And he asks for water, as he was thirsty. Harsame, you have just joined Imam Hussein. And you might have had water. But Hussein and the children of Hussein, the water has been cut for 3 days. The children of Hussein are thirsty as well. Mother says that no, there is no quench until you sacrifice yourself. He goes again and he fights and comes back to the mother and see and asks the mother, Mother, is that enough? Mother, have you seen how I have fought? The mother says, no, until you sacrifice your life. And then once again he fights and they attacked him. And they were evil. They jumped on him from all sides. And finally, he was thrown down from the horse and he was captured, and they took him near the commander Umar Asad. And Umar Asad says, behead him. And they behead Wahab. And once they behead Wahab, they throw the head of Wahab towards the mother. And mother took the head of Wahab and she throws it back. And she says that what is given in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not accepted, is not returned. I have given my son in the way of Allah. Then John comes and he says that, oh, my master, allow me. John was a black slave. And he says, the reason I say he was a black slave, because he, at that time, in terms of the social etiquettes, in terms of the social air, was that they were considered as slaves. And the Imam says that, no. You know, you are not, I'm going to free you. You should live. But John says, no. You know, what life is there after my master is killed? And here Imam says that, may your sacrifice be accepted. May your body, may you have pure smell of the heaven from your body expelling. As the fourth Imam reports that when the shuhada, we were on the plains of Karbala, where there was blood, but there was beautiful smell of scent in the air. An imam was looking through different bodies and he comes to the body of John and he realized that the smell of scent was coming from the body of John. And he goes into the battleground, he tears his shirt and he fights furiously once again for the sake of his master. And he was killed, and Abu Abdullah Hussein once again comes to the help and attends to John. Imam Abu Abdullah on the day of Ashura have come many a times. You know how a zawar, how a person runs between Safa and Marwa. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from Qaymagah, from his tent to the battlefield. He goes, he brings the shaheed, he attends to him. But who was there to attend Imam Hussein alayhi salam? He was left all alone. He was calling, "Oh mother, this is the time that you come." And no wonder it has been mentioned that when Shimr sat on the chest of Hussein, and Shimr says that, "Oh Zainab, leave Hussein now, I want to behead Hussein." And the voice echoed, Shimr had a mukashifa, that was an unveiling. Yes, kuffar and munafiqeen, they also have mukashifat, unveiling of the truths of... And then Shimr says that I will behead sister and brother together. The voice echoed, "Oh Shimr, you're blind. That is not Zainab, that is Zahra who have come into the plains of Karbala to protect the life of Hussein." Ala lanatullah ala qawm al-zalimeen sayalamun ladheena zalimu ayyaman qalibin yanqalibun. Ya Allah, bihaqqa shuhadai Karbala, forgive all of our sins and the sins of our marhumeen, and make them special guests of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bihaqqa shuhadai Karbala, let the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein be safe and sound. Let all of those zawar who are going to do the ziyarat of Imam Hussein be protected and return home safely while their ziyarat being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. While great ajr being given to all of them and also all those who attend the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. May the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam be protected all over the world, especially in Pakistan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our maraji-izam and strengthen them to create the groundwork for the return of our 12th Imam. May our 12th Imam return back to us as soon as possible, and we be his helper and server, and we and our loved ones and our relatives be his companions. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, bihaqq shuhada'i Karbala. Those who have asked us to pray, specially and specifically for their shifa'at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bihaqq shuhada'i Karbala, grant them shifa'i kamil. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect our elderly ones and give them healthy life. And protect our young ones and let them be on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And let all of us be on the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Matam Hussein, Ya Hussein. Ya Hussein.